Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare another on Elm classic. Street.
Johnny Depp in a crop top. First thing that comes to my gay mind. Ugh.
First thing that comes to my pansexual mind.
God, he's hot.
He is everything. Young Johnny Depp is so hot that he's too good for this world.
Yeah. Same with Leonardo DiCaprio. Young Leo? Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Titanic Leo? Oh my god.
Leo in Basketball Diaries was hot.
Never saw it.
You looked so surprised.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
Oh, well, it's a good movie. And he was also in, what was that one period film he was in with when he had really long hair? And he had, like, a twin.
I don't know.
I think that was Leo. Yeah, I think it was, like, it's like a medieval movie. And he has a twin. And the twin tries to, like, lock him up in this, like, head metal thing.
Weird.
That, like, locks, so you can never get it off your head unless you have a key. But, I don't know, it was a weird-ass movie.
Anyways, Johnny Depp's hot.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Depp. For a second, I was like, wait a second, I was talking about Leo. Anyways, they go hand in hand for me.
Yeah, they're essential hot guys.
Just like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Halloween. They all go together.
Yeah, the big three, yeah. You could say.
Friday the 13th is amazing in the sense of there is this fucking burned alive, creepy ass, knives for hands, pedophile after a bunch of teenagers in their dreams. What the fuck?
He's arguably the one villain in all of these that everyone, no matter who you are, can love to hate.
Yeah.
Because he's just such a scumbag. There's not a single person on Earth, or at least there shouldn't be.
There shouldn't
a
be.
A single person on Earth who will excuse a pedophile that was so bad that the local community had to burn him alive to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Like, and then he came back anyways.
Yeah. Like, that's... God, he's a fucking cockroach. Like, yeah. Like I said earlier in the episode, I would be a groupie for Jason. I would be a groupie... I don't think I said that, but I would. Yeah. I'd be a groupie for Jason, and I'd be a groupie for Michael. I would not be a groupie for Freddy.
Or Chucky.
God,
or Jigsaw.
No.
Mainly just because he's too old for me.
Same. I would be a groupie for Death, though. Like, in Final Destination.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be a groupie for Death.
I can't believe we're publicizing the fact that we just admitted we'd fuck Death.
Happens.
Anyways.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street's incredibly creative, in my opinion. I think that's really unique. Like, I would have never thought of that.
Mm-mm.
And the fact that they did tie it in to him being murdered by the community, by the parents. Like, he was killed by the parents. I like that they tied that in. Like, he's not haunting these kids for no reason. He's haunting these kids because their parents burned him alive.
Yeah, it's a specific targeted revenge.
Yeah. It's but, not... like, you also don't realize that it's targeted until they reveal that part.
Yeah.
And I don't really think they talk about it in any of the other films, other than, like, the first one.
I don't think so.
I can't recall.
Which is why I, honestly, until I watched the very first film, which I somehow managed to see some of the sequels first.
Mood.
But when I first watched the film, I was like, wait a second, he's a pedophile?
Yeah.
Since fucking when?
Yeah, he's a pedophile. If anyone doesn't know, he was a pedophile that fucked around with the neighborhood kids and then the parent... Actually, did he? I don't remember. I just know that maybe they found out that he was a pedophile and they were like, kill him. I can't remember if he fucked around with kids or if they just found out about his sex offender status.
I don't think they were very specific, but if I had to take a guess, I'd say they just found out about his status.
Valid. But maybe one kid in the neighborhood or something like that.
Yeah.
But, they killed him, rightfully so, would have done the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And,
fuck pedophiles, too. Fuck Nazis and fuck pedophiles.
Rapists, too.
Rapists as well. They're all equally awful.
The holy trinity of awful. Holy like, Trinity. I can excuse murder sometimes, because sometimes...
A bitch deserves it.
Sometimes a bitch deserves to die. And other times, sometimes people just like to kill people, like... And
sometimes it's a mistake. It was an accident.
It was an accident.
Accidental killing happens sometimes.
Yeah.
It's called manslaughter.
Exactly. Which is why, like, I hate on, like, specifically OkCupid, where they're like, do you, would you excuse, can you separate someone's bad behavior from their art? Like, I could excuse someone's bad behavior if they, like, killed a rapist or something, but I can't excuse a rapist.
Exactly.
But they don't give you that option. It's just yes or no.
Yeah.
And it's super annoying, because that's not a black and white question. But anyways, Freddy is a dick, and he doesn't deserve to be able to kill all of these children.
Which is why it's so awesome that he doesn't get to. Unlike a lot of these movies, like Halloween, where we're, at least as fans, we're kind of rooting for Michael.
Yeah.
Nobody's rooting for Freddy Krueger.
No.
Nobody.
Nobody wants Freddy to win.
Not a single person.
And I think that's what makes him the most, like, ugh, villain. Like, Freddy and Chucky are a tie for me.
They're both scumbags.
Especially because Chucky always preys on, like, little children. Like, bitch, stop! Easiest
to manipulate.
Yeah.
And also, you know, a doll. So they're the only ones who are going to take him seriously and not just be like, well, I'm hearing fucking voices. I need to go take some fucking Ativan.
Yeah. And like, ugh.
Yeah, like, kids are the only ones who are actually going to pay attention to him. He doesn't really have much of another choice.
Yeah, but he didn't have to put himself in a doll. He could have put himself in a million other things.
He was like, bleeding out.
I get that the one time, but he's transferred himself before.
True. Maybe he just finds that to be the one that's the most...
effective, the probably.
Effective, that was the word.
Yeah, and also, it's creepy as fuck to be murdered by a fucking doll.
And nobody suspects it until they see it.
Yeah, and nobody believes it until they see it.
Exactly.
So he can get away with killing a bunch of people, and then everybody thinking it's just, like, accidents or coincidence, or, like, some person. So they're not looking out for a doll. They're looking out for a person.
I mean, you're not gonna get nearly as much done if you're transformed into a fucking poster.
No.
Or a t-shirt.
But you could do, like, a...
A pan.
I was just say, like a
refrigerator.
Like a sex doll or something.
Even then.
No, because then you've got arms.
Squeak, 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 squeak. That one's still not gonna work.
Yeah, but if someone sees a sex doll, they're not gonna be like, oh, that sex doll's trying to murder me. They're just gonna be like, weird.
You're gonna think they got drugged.
Yeah, no, if someone sees a random sex doll, they might try to fuck the sex doll. And if they're trying to fuck you, that's the perfect time to kill it.
Yeah, but you can't be sneaky. And sometimes...
Yeah, you can!
It's just plastic rubbing on plastic.
There's no rubbing! What are you talking about? They'd probably walk like the gingerbread man from Shrek. Like... bendy knees.
So they'll shuffle like a penguin.
I think they'd walk like the gingerbread man from Trek.
Well, there's
I bet on it.
There's no way to prove this theory, so let's just stop there and move to the next movie.
Yeah.
Because we keep getting off track.
Nightmare on Elm Street's a great franchise. It's one of the ones that gets worse as it goes on, worse in a classic 80s cheesy horror movie should be.
Yeah, laugh at, enjoyable kind of bad.
Yeah, and it's gory. It's always gory. There's always a lot of blood. There's always a lot of death. And that's what people look for in these movies.
Definitely.
So that alone makes it a pretty decent.
But speaking of movies that don't follow that, you can just put it on and not really pay attention kind of trope. Next up, we have Scream.
Mm-hmm.
Personal favorite of mine. I have the Scream mask tattooed on my arm. It's probably my favorite of the old classic slashers.
And I feel like that one's honestly younger than the rest of them. That was a 90s one.
That one's 90s.
And I love the aesthetic of the 90s. So 90s horror movies are my favorite.
Yeah.
I love them. They're not as ridiculous and overbearing as 80s slashers can be, but there's also still a lot of titties and cute girls and... And also, 90s fashion was better than 80s fashion. Bite me.
90s fashion is better than any fashion. 90s and early 2000s fashion was, I'm gonna look, not, I'm not gonna care about how I look, and it's not, I'm gonna try to look nice, it's, I'm gonna try to look like the biggest fucking mess possible, and I'm gonna look hot in it.
Yeah, it's looking good as a mess.
It's great, it's and great. I love it.
It's my favorite part.
But my biggest thing with Scream that I love so much about it is the way that it manages to make fun of horror movies and the genre as a whole, and how it's very kind of overdone in a lot of its tropes. Everyone knows the rules, like, nobody's gonna, if there's a killer on the loose, nobody's gonna go out to the fucking garage alone.
But they do in Scream. And the girl gets killed in the fucking garage door.
But every single time there is someone out there who's just like, you're fucking stupid, why the fuck are you doing that? And they just do it anyways, which is realistic. Somebody somewhere is gonna be like, hey, that's the first thing that gets you killed in a movie. And then somebody's gonna do it anyways. That's just life. That's realistic. But I love that it does make fun of the movies a lot, but it's also very loving, and it's very much a love letter to the genre, and it's like, all of these things are just awful stereotypical tropes that you do, but I love them anyways.
Yeah, and they still work together. They still make a movie. Yeah. It's an interesting movie. It's not like a stupid... And as far as it goes, it is a bit predictable, but it's not as predictable as Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
There's still a little twist at the end. You're still not exactly sure who the killer is, but you can, if you watch close enough, pin it down to pretty much an exact either one or two people.
Yeah. It's
just based on fucking where they are and logistics of it all, honestly.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like crazy, like original or creative or anything like that, but it is clever.
It is clever.
It's very clever in the way it uses the tropes.
Mm-hmm.
It still follows the usual plot line, but it does
that's
it.
The point.
Yeah, but it does it in a different way, which was exactly what they were trying to do, which is what I love about it.
Yeah.
Not to mention, it didn't go ridiculous with its sequels. All of the movies in the series, all four of them, are good, and they're all equally good, and then they stopped while they were ahead.
Yeah, they didn't keep going, like, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. Know when to quit.
Yeah, definitely know when to quit. Or you're just gonna... After a while, it's just gonna get annoying. Like, Jaws. Like, after a while... Like, Sharknado. After a while,
Texas
it's just
Chainsaw Massacre.
Done. You're just over it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't even think there were that many Texas Chainsaw Massacres.
I think there's seven or eight.
Really? There's that many? Wow.
Since the 80s.
Yeah. Because I know there were sequels, and then there was remakes.
Yeah, total.
Yeah.
That'd probably be my guess, seven or eight.
Probably. But
I was like five or six too many.
Oh, yeah. I liked, honestly, any more than the first one was too many, in my opinion.
The remake was good, so I'll give you that one.
I don't think I saw the remake. Oh, yeah, we did.
The Sam one.
Yeah.
That's the remake.
That was, no, it wasn't.
Or, no, that's a sequel, my bad.
No, that was Friday the 13th.
Fuck!
We saw one with, I think, Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really
care for that remake.
But the characters were cuter in that movie than they were in the original.
Yeah.
So I can give them that. They're more attractive. But, yeah, we saw, I honestly could have gone with one or the other. I didn't like either of them much. I liked them in the sense of I like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I guess we're moving on to that now.
I guess, yeah.
I like Texas Chainsaw Massacre the way that I like it because it's a classic. I like it because I respect it. I'm not, like, a huge fan of it or anything. But I respect it, and I think it was kind of creepy. I mean, the whole idea of an entire little town being against you, like, no matter where you run, no matter even if you get away from this house or from these people, you can't get away from the whole town.
And one's gonna help you.
Yeah, no one's gonna help you, and if anything, they're gonna bring you back. They're gonna hurt you. So, like, you really it's really terrifying to have to rely on yourself and to only be able to trust yourself. Especially for the final girl, because all of her friends are dead, everyone's fucking murdered, and
she's usually injured.
Yeah, she's usually injured. She knows the entire town is out to get her, so she has to figure something out. And have to do that alone is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's creepy, and I'll give it that. I mean, being from a small town...
I get it. We do have our secrets.
Yeah. And it's creepy. But I don't... As a movie, I just wasn't that into it. I mean...
Yeah.
There wasn't any plot. It was just... These teenagers are on a road trip, their car breaks down, or a stranger is in the road and they try to bring the stranger back, and they try to take the stranger home, and then they start getting picked off one by one, then they find out that they're fucking cannibalistic weirdo family, and they try to get away, then they get caught, they try to get away, then they get caught, they try to get away, and then eventually they do get away, and that's it.
Or they get killed, if it's the first movie.
The first movie, everyone died. I did like that they killed everyone.
Yeah.
I always like when horror movies kill off everyone, because as much as I don't want it to happen, because I like characters, I think that it's a really realistic way to end a film, especially in that kind of scenario, because the odds of a stranger driving past this tiny dead-end town is so fucking small. And the odds of you being able to find your way back to the road is so fucking small. Especially with these locals who know it like the back of their fucking hand.
Yeah.
So, like, it's pretty unrealistic to think that anyone would get away with by anything other than luck. So, like, I really like when horror movies just kill them all off.
I definitely think it was a good option to kill her off, especially in that movie. It definitely adds an air of finality and inevitability to their deaths.
Definitely.
When you kill off all the characters, it really makes it seem like no matter what the characters did, they weren't going to get out of that.
Exactly.
And it definitely makes the stakes feel like they've been upped a bit when you do that.
Yeah.
It makes it seem more dangerous.
And also, not many people do it, so it's also that shock factor.
Yeah.
Of like, because when you go into a movie, you're like automatically the lead actor is probably gonna survive. Like, 9 times out of 10, they're probably gonna survive.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. I would say that I'm not a huge fan of Texas Chainsaw as a movie itself, either. I like it when I'm in the mood for something gory and mindless.
Mm.
And they definitely do have a very strong sense of weirdness to the movie with the whole cannibalist family thing going on.
Yeah.
But I severely respect it as a cinematic piece for the time.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And I definitely respect how it's affected the genre and how it's affected people.
Exactly, yeah. You definitely have to respect something that did so well and changed so much.
And it is such a really interesting concept, this family of people who all are cannibals. It's not just like a Hannibal Lecter type thing. Mm-hmm. They all are. They were raised into this. They don't know anything different.
It's a generational thing.
It's a generational thing, exactly. And they don't see anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really, at least the children, the younger ones, like Leatherface, don't really seem to have much of a concept of death.
Mm-hmm.
They kept around their dead grandparents, talking to them as if they were alive. It really shows one of our biggest fears, especially as a country in America, which is that there's so much land and so much space that you never really know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You, especially in small towns, like, you really never know what's going on behind closed doors. You never know who you can trust and who you shouldn't. You don't know until it's too late.
Exactly. I like that. They also showed that in Summer of 84, where the kid was like, you could live next to a serial killer. Like, your neighbor could be a serial killer. You never really know what's happening in these houses. And nobody actually shows you the truth. And, I mean, in their case, it's pretty blatantly obvious when you look at them that there's something off about them.
Yeah.
But you're not exactly sure because in both movies, some of the kids went up to this house and they were like, ooh, this is creepy. But they didn't know to the extent. So that whole, like, being in the vicinity, it was almost as if as soon as they walked into that town, their fate was sealed.
Yeah.
And I love that because, like, there was nothing you could have done to get out of there. And realistically, there isn't. Realistically, unless you can fight them all off and kill them, you're not really going to get away. Unless it's sheer, unadulterated luck of a car passing by.
Oh, yeah. Never underestimate the power of the luck of a sheer dumbass.
True. Mia, every stoner in horror movies.
Yeah.
They always get by luck until they're dead.
Yeah. Dumbass and then they die. Sheer luck.
It's so funny.
But it's especially accurate to small towns, because especially with us growing up in a small town, we know that small towns really do tend to have a mentality of us versus them. You're either in this small town, you're someone I grew up with, you're someone that I know and have known for years, or you're an outsider.
Yeah.
You're someone I don't know, and you're someone that I can't trust.
Yeah.
And it's the movie really plays that off well, because, yeah, they seem polite to these characters at first, and they treat them well, but that doesn't stop the fact that there is an underlying animosity to everything that they're doing.
Yeah, definitely.
But Texas Chainsaw, it definitely had awesome idea, and everything about it except for the execution was amazing.
Yeah, I like the story, I like... The soundtrack was pretty lit. I just don't like that there's no plot. Like, there is an underlying thing, but there's no, like... There's no plot. There's no climax. It's just the same thing from the beginning. It's just flatlined.
Yeah.
Like, I like my movies having at least a little bit of a fight, but there never really is one. And in either of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies that I've seen, there's no real fight. And as much as I appreciate the fact that their fate was sealed when they walked in there, you can do that in ways like Halloween, Friday the 13th, all of their fates. Yeah, The Descent. That was a really good example.
They did a really good job of that.
Yeah, a really good example. You can have a sealed fate and still have a fight. Because humans will fight. They're going to do you're going to do whatever they fucking can. So, like, not having that rise of, like, this person realizing, okay, this is life or death, all of my friends are dead, and if I don't do everything I possibly can, I'm going to die too. There's none of that. And you know what I think really did a good job of that was in, The Descent.
Yeah, The Descent.
I think she reached that point where she was like, I'm gonna die. If I don't do something, I'm gonna die.
And it also really, not to cut you off, but... Fine. It also really shows her journey of, and this is also what the movies were missing, the climax of her, the desperation of knowing logically that you're not going to get out of this, but still desperately in denial trying to grasp at any straws in your reach.
Yeah.
They didn't really reach that.
Yeah, there was no character development in that sense either.
And that definitely kills a movie when there's such an inevitable end of them not surviving. You need to have that desperation, that clinging to any chance they have, because otherwise you don't have the climax of extinguishing that hope.
Yeah, the extinguishment of the hope is the climax for me. Like, I mean, obviously it's the downside of the climax, but like...
The end of the climax.
Yeah, when they get to that point of just desperation... It also shows character development in the sense of growth as a person. Because when you walk in there, most of the time the final girls are basic, normal, boring bitches.
Quote unquote Mary Janes.
Yeah. But when they're out of there, they're fucking... They've seen some shit. They've been through some shit.
They've been through the wars.
Yeah, they are completely changed. And when you have a character, especially in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, she was so flat. Like, she had no personality. She seemed to have no feelings. All she did was scream and run.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, that's pretty much 50% of the horror movies. It is. It's 50% of slashers.
Yeah.
But, like... You also have to have the final girl especially should be someone that we like, someone that we want to survive, even though we know she isn't going to. And that just didn't give me that. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre just didn't give me that.
Yeah, I think their biggest downfall was character development and a cohesive plot.
Yeah.
There's no real rise in it. The threat is consistent throughout the movie.
Yeah.
They die consistently throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There is really no plot other than, okay, we get to the house. Oh, things are going wrong. How do we get away from the house? That's it. Yeah. There's no interpersonal dynamics. There's nothing going on between the characters that we can follow.
Yeah.
There's no real development of the characters to make us like them and want to see them survive.
Mm-hmm.
It really lost a lot of those things in trying to create such a great movie on such a low budget and with so little time.
Yeah.
I really would love to see someone take that movie and make it what it could be.
Yeah, because that could be fucking great. That could still scare an entire new generation. Like, that could do what it did in the 70s. Now,
there still are places like that. There are still places where your cell phone reception drops out. There are still places where you can't get Wi-Fi. There are still places where there's 10 acres in between each house. Like, that's still, mm-hmm. at very least in America, a thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's still a very real fear.
Yeah, and there's still small towns with deep secrets.
Oh, yeah.
So, you could definitely do something with that. And I hope to see one day that they do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that could be a great movie. Ice Nine Kills is a song off the album that we mentioned previously, The Silver Scream, based off of Texas Chainsaw, and it is called Savages.
Yes, it is.
And it's, in my opinion, a total fucking anthem.
Yeah, it is.
And I love it.
It's an anthem, definitely. And it really makes you feel, not feel for the villains, but again, it's not for, I don't think that one's from the perspective of the villains, but it's at least the chorus part that I'm thinking of. It's very just, we're weirdos, and people think that we're weird, and we're different, and that's the problem. But we're cool, though.
I think that being an anthem song, they tried to make it more general.
Yeah, it was very general,
That's very obvious, and that's fine and everything, but I think definitely in the verses, you get a lot of the influences of, like, stay on your side of the tracks if you know what's good. You won't mm-hmm. make it out of our neighborhood. Very references to what's going on in the movie. And while that one's a lot more general, it's still an amazing song, and it still is definitely about Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, definitely. You can hear it. But it is generalized, which makes it such an anthem.
Unlike a lot of the other ones we've listed so far. Like, Ice Nine Kills, a lot of the songs so far have been very story-based. That one is one that isn't.
That one and Freak Show. Freak Show's more story-based than Savages. Freak Flag, my bad. Freak Flag is more story-driven than Savages, but it's still also an anthem.
Yeah, definitely. And that one, in case you were wondering, was based off of The Devil's Rejects.
Yeah. That's one that neither of us have really talked about.
Yeah, I've only seen, half of it.
I've only seen bits and pieces of it. So, we have to see that.
Yeah, we have to see that. That's one that we're missing.
That's the only one we're missing.
As far as, like,
from the album.
Oh, yeah. As far as the album's concerned, that's the only one.
All right, let's move on to Paranormal Activity.
You can talk about Paranormal Activity. I'm going to be completely honest right here and say, I don't like Paranormal Activity. I see every point that 4 is about to make, and I completely agree. But as the movie stands, I think almost all of them are absolutely worthless, with the exception of Ghost Dimension, which was decent.
No, there was another one that we liked as well.
Oh, okay. So two of them. The rest of them weren't very good. There was two of them
that you liked. Now, I don't think many of them are very good either, but I've seen a few that I liked. I'm not going to go off about it because I went off about it in the last episode, but
we've had to record this, 3 times now, just so you know. So if we sound a bit short or we seem like we're blowing through these, it's because we've said the same things now 3 times.
Yeah, it's not fun. But, hey, sorry. That's what you get. But, anyways, I'm not going to say much because I've talked about Paranormal Activity before, but Paranormal Activity could be a fantastic franchise. It really could, because it does have that underlying storyline, just the same with Final Destination. It has that same underlying storyline. The difference between Final Destination and Paranormal Activity is that Final Destination actually had good plots. It actually had good individual plots throughout all of the movies. Final Destination dropped the ball on 80% of them. They were trash, they weren't scary. Tripp and I are not very big fans of found footage, but no, there are not. A few where we can definitely treasure, because there are a few gems.
Oh, yeah.
But with Paranormal Activity, with shit like that, you have to do it right, or it's gonna suck. And I think, in my opinion, it sucked.
Yeah,
but I think...
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I'll give them the leeway of found footage is a very hard genre to get right, mm-hmm. and I'm not surprised that they struggled with it, because it is such a difficult thing to get right.
Yeah.
I will give them that.
Yeah, they had reason to struggle, but they didn't have reason to struggle this much.
Oh, yeah. No.
It just could have been so much better. It really could have. And I think the reason that Paranormal Activity is so big that everyone knows about it is because, well, partly because it is so bad, but also because of decent movies, decent found footage movies, and those ghost hunting shows. I feel like they kind of hyped up found footage movies like Paranormal Activity, and were like, oh yeah, if you like these, you'll like Paranormal Activity.
Definitely.
But Paranormal Activity, was that not, like, the daddy of found footage movies? Like, I'm pretty sure, like, that was, like, it opened up the doors. Like, it was...
I think that was Blair Witch Project.
Ew, that movie's trash.
But I think Paranormal Activity is the one who reopened it for the 2000s.
When did Paranormal Activity come out?
Paranormal Activity was 2006, 2007?
Maybe? I feel like it was earlier than that. I can't check. We're recording on my phone. But
I don't have my phone down here.
All the way over there, but whatever.
Around
Paranormal Activity, I feel like, widened the door, at least, definitely, for found footage films. And I think found footage can be scary to a lot of people. Just the concept of it, which... In that case, I can see why Paranormal Activity would freak you out. Paranormal Activity has a lot of good jump scares, I'll give you that. In all of the movies, there are jump scares.
Yeah.
And I am a sucker for jump scares. They always get me. And you know what? I don't give a fuck, because that's okay. Found footage is good at jump scares. Because found footage really is just your view. It's you are seeing what you're seeing. It's really good at putting you there. But it's really bad at keeping you there, which is my problem with found footage. So, like, I can see why people might find it scary, but Paranormal Activity could have done a million things a million times better.
Oh, yeah. My biggest issue with them as far as, like, scares is that they did have great jump scares, but there was absolutely no build-up and there was no sense of tension climaxing into it. So it was just kind of flatlined and then scare and then flatline again. There was no crescendo into a big scare. There was no anxiety into it. It was just kind of flat to me.
I think at the end of a few of the Paranormal Activity movies, the last like half hour or so, there is a lot of tension and it does build because you are starting to see that there is something wrong. It's not just in someone's mind. It's not just a coincidence. It's not just a few things happening. No, at the end you see. At the end is when the overarching plot comes in. To the overarching story behind all of the movies comes in in the last 30 minutes of a lot of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say for all of them because I can't remember exactly what happens in every single one of them. But the ones I'm thinking of, the plot does come to surface at the end. And my problem is that that plot should come to surface throughout the movie. Like, if you want to do, like, you know how in a lot of haunted house movies they'll go and research, and then they'll find out about the history of the house.
Yeah.
Well, do something like that, because things like that, the things that have happened in Paranormal Activity, they're big enough for you to wonder if it's happened before.
Yeah.
And they're big enough deals for those things to be documented, like children going missing, people dying in houses, you know, murders, necks being snapped. That doesn't just disappear. Like, there is record of that. And I feel like they would benefit from offering a little bit in every movie to tie in the rest.
Yeah.
And it just sucks that it doesn't do that, because it could be so much better.
I mean, Final Destination did it.
Exactly.
They had scenes where, at least, I remember it being in the last movie, I remember it being in the second movie, where they'd go back and they'd say, hey, have you ever heard of Flight, I think it
180.
Was 180, Flight 180. They always go back to that.
Mm.
And then in the later movies, they'll also mention Highway 180, and they'll, even if those people are not known to have anything to do with the originals at that moment, it still acknowledges that this has happened in the timeline before, and that people are going to hear about this and look it up and remember seeing it on the news and things like that.
Exactly. Especially in, like, okay, I can see, like, if they had made these in the 90s. Not everyone was looking shit up in the 90s.
Yeah.
But, like, in the 2000s, the computers were here. People were Googling shit. They were looking up shit because they could. People had access to this information.
Schools were getting desktops.
Exactly.
Kids were learning how to use computers at the time.
Yeah. And even if I gave you leeway in the early 2000s, 2010 and past, you have no excuse.
Yeah.
You have no excuse not to implement the fact that knowledge of past events is known to everyone. Everyone has the opportunity to look these things up. No one's gonna have shit like this happening in their house and not be like, okay, what the fuck? Shit, has shit, like, I'm gonna Google some shit. Or, like, go off, because even if you think your house is haunted, you're gonna go on your phone and be like, is my house haunted?
Yeah, you're still gonna go to Google and type in, my house is haunted? Question mark? Yahoo Answers.
Yeah, you're gonna get something.
You're gonna try.
Yeah.
Even if you don't find anything, at least acknowledge that they're trying.
Yeah, but at least just add something where they are recognizing the past events. That would easily tie in the storyline. And I think the storyline really would make the movies. And it's just so disappointing that it doesn't.
And also get better at increasing tension, not just in the last half an hour, but throughout the movie.
Yeah, tension should be in all of them.
Don't just give me a flat movie where it's 10 minutes of fucking nothing happening, and then a jump scare, and then another 10 minutes of nothing happening before I get to an ending that's actually at least somewhat interesting.
The ending is as good as the entire movie should be.
Yeah, and the entire movie is not as good as the ending is. By any stretch of the imagination.
And the ending isn't even good enough to be like... The ending isn't even good enough to be redeemable. It does not redeem the movie. The entire movie should be as good as the ending.
And then the movie would be redeemable.
Yeah.
But Paranormal Activity could have been great. It failed.
But it's a flop.
And it failed miserably.
Yeah.
Yet again, I'd love to see it in the hands of someone who could actually do it right.
Same. You know who I'd like to see it in the hands of? Whoever the fuck did The Conjuring.
Yes.
Because The Conjuring was so fucking good. And that's the next one we're going to be talking about.
I was going to have us do that last.
That sucks.
Oh, well.
Well, that's the first one I saw, so.
The Conjuring.
If you want to change it, we can change it, but.
We're already going with it.
The Conjuring is so good.
It's one of our favorite modern horror movie series so far.
It's one of my favorites, period. I mean, as far as ghosts and demons and shit.
Paranormal.
As far as the paranormal, The Conjuring did it so well.
Oh, yeah.
There was character development. There was actual feeling between the two. There was more than one group of characters that were developed. It wasn't like the ghost hunters came in and you knew nothing about them. Kind of like the first Insidious.
Yeah.
First of all, you know what made the movie? Ed and Lorraine Warren. Ed and Lorraine Warren made the entire series. That's it. They were the best part. Change my mind.
Not to mention just the fact that, unlike Paranormal Activity, the movies built such an amazing sense of suspense that you can tell those directors actually know what the word tension means.
Yeah, they're actually good at their job.
Like, they really did a good job in knowing what parts they need to make tense and in what parts to kind of draw it back so they can build it back up again. They did a really good job of kind of leading the audience where they wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has... I can think of very few movies in the last, like, 10 years that have done such a good job with that.
Mm-hmm. I think the second Conjuring movie is the one that's in, like, London.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I love that movie. I think that one was so interesting. Like, it was even more interesting than the first one, and even more interesting than The Nun.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was the best one, because there was, not only were there lots of moments where there was a bunch of scares, where there was a lot of tension, where there was creepy shit going on, there was also a lot of moments where they were pure. Like, when Ed was playing the guitar in the living room, when Lorraine and the daughter were having that moment on the swing set, where Ed and that girl were having the moment at the end of the movie by the truck when they were leaving. There are so many moments where you really got a feel for how good and nice and caring and kind Ed and Lorraine are. And in all of the scenes that I'm thinking of that really made the movie for me, they were part of it.
Yeah, I definitely think the movie had a really strong emotional connection, and I love that it didn't fall into the hole that so many, especially action movies and superhero movies, have been falling into recently, Umbrella Academy, of just being dark and nitty and gritty for no reason the entire time.
Yeah.
It's completely unnecessary, and stylistically speaking, it's the most boring thing you could do.
Yeah.
And The Conjuring, especially that one, did a really great job of having light moments and having human moments that showed you that it wasn't just all dark and gloomy, and there's a reason that these people are still trying to survive this.
Yeah.
These people aren't just fighting to fight, they're fighting because they do have sources of joy in their life, and they are enjoying their life.
Yeah. And I mean, there's also, in that one, I really like the fact that they didn't follow the basic haunting trope. Like, they didn't follow the trope of the ghost hunters getting there and then finding the ghost. They were there, and then they thought they had a ghost, but then they thought that it was not, and then they thought that it was, and then it was just a lot, and there was a lot of twists, and not necessarily, like unexpected twists, but just unique. So, like, ones that you were like, oh, they're going that way with it, okay, that's interesting. And I really like that. I like when you can have a scary movie that is basic, but isn't completely basic.
Not average turns.
Yeah.
Still turns that you've seen before, but they're less common.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly in that one, I like the fact that it did misdirect a lot.
It did misdirect.
But it didn't misdirect in a confusing, hard-to-follow way.
Yeah.
And it didn't do it in a, what the fuck are you even doing with this kind of way.
Yeah. It did it in a way where you thought, it did it in a way where you were like, no, you're wrong. But also, you were like, oh, maybe I'm wrong? Like, you weren't exactly sure where it was going, but you thought you knew. And you just ended up either being right or wrong. Most of the time, you were right, because you kind of know where it's going, and you kind of know that what's happening is a misdirect, and that it shouldn't be happening, because the characters actually need this, but then it happens anyways, and they learn their lesson, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it does a really good job of doing that without being confusing or boring. Mm-hmm. It really gets you in the character's shoes, so when they're confused, you're confused. But yeah. It doesn't feel like you're confused with the movie. It feels like you're confused with the characters and their actions.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're about as sure about what's happening as Ed and Lorraine are.
Mm-hmm.
Which they did a very good job with that. Their character development, their plots, their attention to detail is just amazing throughout the entire
universe, honestly.
Yeah, the entire cinematic universe that they've built, and I cannot wait to see the next installation of it. It's one of the few movies that actually got us to jump, mm-hmm. which hasn't happened to us in a very long fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
So
every single one of the movies, the Conjuring, the first Conjuring, the second Conjuring, the Nun, Annabelle 2, they Annabelle all creation. Got me, yeah, that's Annabelle 2.
Oh.
And then the new Annabelle that's coming out, I'm fucking ready for. I'm gonna be obsessed awesome. With, I already know. But, another thing that I'd want to say about, The Conjuring is that I really like the way they tied in that nun demon.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of the demon. Is it, like, a lock or something like that? Or something like that. Anyways. But that demon, I really like that has been a thing since the beginning of the universe. Like, since the first movie, you saw that. And I like that it didn't obsess over that little detail, but you realized that detail could be important later. And it was. And in every movie, it got more and more important and more and more. It came to the front more. And
in your face.
I liked that. I liked that they slowly brought it to the front. And I especially like that tiny thing that they brought to the front was able to create that entire other movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, I just think that's super cool. And I haven't seen someone do that successfully in, God, I don't think I've ever seen someone do that successfully, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
People have, but I just can't think of anything.
Yeah. I think their biggest thing that they did right, as far as making multiple movies, making movies with sequels that no other franchise has been able to do successfully, horror or not, is that The Conjuring have successfully set up a way to make almost infinite sequels.
Mm-hmm.
By having that room and by starting Ed and Lorraine as established characters who have already been through a lot of these stories and setting up that room full of haunted objects, not only are they opening to a shit ton of prequels about where all of those objects are from, but they're also opening up into a bunch of sequels of adding objects and in the house itself, someone messing with the objects and accidentally releasing it, like the new Annabelle is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
They really have set it up so that they will never run out of material as long as they continue to have ideas.
Yeah.
And they will never have to cram it in. They never have to make plot holes to try to fit it into the universe.
Mm-hmm.
They built in the space they needed.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost as if they built The Conjuring to be that big. Yeah. Like, they built it with the, not necessarily the intent, but the option of expanding and expanding and expanding, and it's still being good quality cinema.
Unlike Kingdom Hearts.
Unlike literally any other series that I can think of at the moment.
Kingdom Hearts was broken by, outright broken by its continual expansion.
But unlike we can go on and on and on about The Conjuring, but we're not going to, because this episode's probably already an hour and a half long. Yep. So we're gonna move on to, what, The Purge?
The Purge.
Purge. I have not seen that many Purges. I've seen maybe three.
Yeah, about the same. It's pretty basic. With The Purge, I don't think it's quite realistic, because I don't think at least the average person is going to go out and commit murder for no fucking reason over a fucking candy bar or something.
Mm-mm.
But I do think that they would go out and kill, you know, politicians, steal food, help homeless people, you know.
It would be a lot more stealing money, killing politicians.
Police.
Yeah, police. There'd be overthrowing a lot the government. There'd be a lot more mischief.
Arson.
Mischief and, like, actual purposeful things than there would be just plain outright stupid murder.
Yeah.
Maybe for, like, the first Purge.
Maybe.
Like, the very first Purge, because that's, like, insane. Like, oh my god, I'm allowed to do literally anything that I want right now. Go ahead and kill someone. But, like, I feel like that's not the immediate jump. Like, I feel like that would, they'd be out, you know, stealing some money, and then they'd see a person, and they'd just be like,
and that person would be rude to them, piss them off, and they'd just fucking kill them.
Be like, you know what? I want to kill that guy. Oh, wait, I can.
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
But my biggest thing with The Purge is, like, for a lot of, like, average individuals, outside of trying to, like, protect their family and their homes, most people's immediate thought is just going to be like, oh, cool, I don't have to go, I can go down to the store and not pay for my candy bar.
Yeah.
Their immediate thought does not jump to arson or murder or any big thing. For the most part, it's like, well, what would I do if everything was legal? Probably the same thing I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really change as much as people really think it would. Yeah, you can go out and murder someone, but do you really want to?
Yeah, like, is it really worth the hassle?
Do you care enough about something to murder somebody? Do you really hate someone enough to put in that much work?
I do, if it's like Donald Trump. But that's the thing. The people that people would want to murder are the ones that are protected. The president, any other politicians, fucking millionaires, they're going to be protected. And I think that's the shittiest fucking part. I think everyone, if you're gonna make The Purge, no one should be allowed to have protection. No one should be off limits, okay? Everyone should have the same exact shit. Because my problem with The Purge movies is that if you want to make it scary, make everything available. Everything and everyone. Because it's not scary to just have your neighbors coming over and killing you.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, nobody knows your neighbors. People, that happens. I didn't like them anyways. They didn't like me.
That's just an exaggerated version of what already happens when fucking Catherine brings her fucking casserole when she knew that Kathy was bringing hers.
Yeah.
It's just a higher scale version of the same fucking thing.
Yeah. Like, The Purge is not unique, it's not interesting.
It's boring, and it's unrealistic.
It's definitely unrealistic. I think it would be, and it's not a good kind of unrealistic. It's not an amusing, cinematic unrealistic.
Like Chucky.
It's something that you would completely expect to happen. Like, I would not be surprised if the government were to create a purge and then protect everyone that had a higher income of, like, $5 billion.
Yeah, billionaires.
And fucking, that's it. I would not be surprised if that happened. But, like, it's unrealistic in the fact that you're making it seem like the first thing a bunch of people are gonna do is go kill someone. Like, the first thing someone's gonna do is go steal some money. They're gonna go to that ATM and they're gonna break it open and steal all the cash. They're gonna go rob some Beverly Hills house. They're not gonna kill people.
They're gonna go fucking drink for free at a bar.
Yeah.
Something. Like, people... One thing that The Purge gets wrong is that people are not naturally violent. Or at very least, I don't like to think they are.
That's my problem. They get it wrong. They just get people wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the most basic principles, they got that wrong, and that's not interesting.
What people are interested in is self-gratification. We're interested in things that make us feel good. Murder does not make people feel good.
Most of the time.
Usually. Does not make the average person feel good, for the most part. It's just stressful. We're going to be going after things that make us feel good. We're going to go out to the movies. We're going to steal money. We're going to steal beer. We're going to steal cigarettes. We're going to smoke weed. We're going to do drugs. But, like, violent crimes are, if anything, going to be at a low because people are busy doing other crimes.
Yeah. I don't think... I just have a problem with the fact that they just got it blatantly wrong.
Yeah.
They just got human nature wrong. And it didn't feel like they did that on purpose.
No, it's definitely...
And I don't think they did. It's just, that's just what they thought would happen.
Conspiracy theory time. I've heard a few people express the opinion that The Purge is set up like that for a specific reason. And that specific reason is because society as a whole kind of, or at very least like government, etc., particularly want us to believe that we cannot trust each other. And they want us to think that it's every man for themselves in this world because it helps further their own agendas. And they're like, oh, see, you can't trust your neighbors like you can trust the rest of us. Or what? Basically to try to break down our community bonds, essentially, and make us a little more susceptible to individual violence. I've heard that theory. Take that how you will. I personally think there might be a grain of something to it.
But, I mean, I think that it's realistic. I think that that could be a thing. But I don't think The Purge is smart enough to do that. I really don't. I don't think the writers or anything were thinking that deeply into it. I think they were like, okay, imagine if we made crime, all crime legal. What do you think would happen? And I think someone just said murder. Like, I think someone was just like, you know, people would probably kill each other. That's probably what would happen. And in my opinion, these are probably a bunch of rich fucks that wouldn't go out and steal money because they already have all the money that they need. They have these lavish lives. They don't need to do anything. And when you have everything, the only thing you're gonna want to do is probably kill people because that's something you haven't done. It's like, you have all the money. You don't have any restrictions that poor people have or that normal income people have. So they're gonna do crazy shit. They're gonna be the ones that kill people and rape people and fucking skin people and fucking set people on fire.
Yeah, not to mention it's scientifically shown through studies that rich people have less empathy.
Yeah.
So obviously they're going to be more prone towards the violent stuff.
Exactly.
And then add on to that fact, I'm gonna call it Lord of the Flies syndrome. You know, the whole rich upper class white boys going to an island results in murder and chaos, whereas if you put a bunch of poor kids in class with no supervision and tell them not to do something, usually they don't do it. Like, it's a difference in class can result in a different kind of mindset. Poor people are used to being told that they can't do something or not having access to things or having to constantly plan things out because they don't have the resources they need, whereas rich people, you keep them from eating one meal and they'll flip their fucking shit.
Yeah. I mean, you put a group of rich boys on an island, they're gonna freak out. They're not gonna know what to do. They're gonna try to you know, take the power. They're gonna try to be on top. They're gonna fight each other. But if you put a group of poor people on an island, there's gonna be more order. There's gonna be like, okay, whoa, guys, what the fuck? They're also used to the fact that they don't have anything now. So, like, they don't have shit, and poor people don't have shit, period. I don't have shit. So, like, if you were to put a bunch of poor people on an island, it's not gonna be violence. It's gonna be maybe confusion, and then it's gonna be
frustration, maybe.
This is what we need to do. Let's do it.
Yeah.
They're gonna get down to business.
And, I mean, it's been studied over and over and over and over again ever since the book Lord of the Flies came out. Like, lower income classes and women in particular and minorities are significantly less likely to cause violence in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Than well-off white men are.
Which is exactly who you know wrote the script for that.
Exactly. And that's...
And then maybe they didn't write the script. Maybe they were involved in that process.
And most and likely...
probably going to be... The probes are probably going to be who the majority of them were.
Yeah, most likely the majority.
Anyways, we can't talk about that for too long.
So, The Purge is wrong.
But it could have been cool.
But it's nice to watch mindless violence sometimes. Yet again, doesn't do a great job of building up suspense or anything like that.
No. It's more just a horror movie. But the one where they were locked in the house, like the rich guy and then the boyfriend tried to kill
him. That one's decent.
That was cool. I liked that one. I thought that one was interesting. And also the one where they were protecting that politician lady.
Yeah.
That one was interesting too. So it's not that they aren't bad movies, just the concept itself is a little skewed.